Psalm 122, beginning in verse 1. Psalm 122, beginning in verse 1, and David says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I hope that all of us feel that same way. I hope that we can say and truthfully, honestly feel, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together, whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. I want us to go back and look primarily at the sixth verse where David said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I think everybody here knows that David had a great love for the city of Jerusalem. David loved that city, and David fought many times as a soldier. He fought to defend that city. And yet right now he's asking that they would pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I believe that sometimes in our lives that we get weak and weary and tired, and we don't want to fight anymore. And I think that's the way David was here. And David said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray that the wars and the fightings and all of the turmoil, pray that attacks from without Jerusalem, pray that those attacks would cease. Pray that we might have peace in Jerusalem. I'm sure that even today, they would love to have peace in Jerusalem. And in all ages of the world, I pray that God will help us to realize that we need to be praying that we might have peace where we live. We need to be praying not just for the peace of Jerusalem, but we need to be primarily praying for the peace in America. We need to be praying that God will help us as a nation not to go through attacks from other countries, that God will help us. God has been gracious to our nation. We know very little about fighting on our home soil. We have had peace in America, and we need to be praying that God will give us peace in America, that we might not be attacked from outside countries. We also need to be praying that God will help us to have peace in America. There might not be continuous fighting among races and nations within the United States of America. We have much conflict between people in America, and we need to pray, God, help us to have peace. We need to be praying for the peace that we need to have in America. The Word of God says, as much as possible, we need to live peaceably with all men. We don't need a lot of fighting and conflicts and wars. It is not good for us to have all of those conflicts. So David was saying, I believe first and foremost, David was saying, pray that Jerusalem might not have all the fightings that are going on. Pray that we might have peace in Jerusalem. I believe that he was also saying that the brethren in Jerusalem, that the people of God, that the children of God in Jerusalem, that they might not fight among themselves. Did you know one of the worst things in the world is that Christians stop fighting the world and Christians spend so much time fighting each other? And I think that's one of the things that disturbed David, is when people who were brethren would begin to fuss and fight and argue, and there was conflict among the brethren. David had that kind of conflict in his own family. David had children that were fighting each other. He had one child that killed another one of his children. He had turmoil in his family, and he needed to have some peace in his family. And I think he probably prayed for peace in his family, but he was also praying for peace among the brethren. And I want to ask all of you in the beginning of this year that we pray for peace among the brethren. Not just pray for our nation to have peace. Not just pray that we might not have wars on our nation and in our nation, but also pray that among the people of God, among the church here, that we might have peace, that love and unity and harmony might abound. It can abound. You remember how in Hebrews chapter 13, the Word of God says, let brotherly love continue. And we need to work toward that. We need to pray for peace in, see, Jerusalem. When we read here in Psalm 122 and verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a picture and a foreshadowing of the church and of the kingdom of heaven. It was the center of religious activity. I want you to notice toward the end of Psalm 122. Look at the wording, and I think he's praying for something different toward the end. He says in verse 8, Psalm 122 and verse 8, he says, for my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. Now, there's a difference to me. There's a difference in him saying that we might have peace among us and that we might have peace within us. We need both. We need no conflict. But we need to also feel the peace of God that passeth all understanding. So we need to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. And we need to pray that brethren might have peace with them. Now look at the ninth verse. He says in Psalm 122 and verse 9, he says, because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. So he's praying for the city of Jerusalem, but he's also praying for the house of God. And I want us to pray for our nation that we might have peace in America, pray that we might have peace there, but also pray that we might have peace in the house of God among the people of God. David says this, turn one page past where we're reading. Look at Psalm 133. Psalm 133 in verse 1, David talks about how wonderful it is for the people of God to be at peace one with another. In Psalm 133 and verse 1, he says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Isn't it wonderful to have peace? Isn't it wonderful, brethren, to know that there's love and harmony and unity among the people of God? It is wonderful to know that you can trust your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's wonderful to know the love that abounds among the brethren. And if love is not abounding in your heart toward the brethren, I encourage you, I ask you to do what David encouraged the people to do, and that is you pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You pray for the brethren to be of one mind and one accord. Turn to the New Testament. Let's see that that was not always the case among the churches in the New Testament, and it is not always the case in any church. We are all human beings, and sometimes there is conflict among the brethren. In 1 Corinthians, look in your Bible just a moment at 1 Corinthians, because I believe it's important that we look at the fact that there is conflict and what we need to do in order to bring about harmony and peace again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I want to read verse 11 first and then back up to verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 11. He's talking to the churches at Corinth and to the church at Corinth. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 11, he says, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren. Were they Paul's brethren? Did he love them? Did he want them to be of one mind and one accord? Did he want peace at Corinth? He wanted the peace of Jerusalem. He says, it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them that which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. That is, that there was fussing and fighting going on in the church at Corinth. Now back up to verse 10. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Do you know the only way to have what Paul prayed for in 1 Corinthians 1:10 is if the people of God that make up the church are praying for the peace of Jerusalem. If we're praying for one another, and we're praying that if there's any conflict, that God will help us to settle that. I want to encourage you, brethren, that you remember that the Word of God says that you are to never let the sun go down on your wrath. If you have anger toward any brother or sister in Christ, I want you to know it's a very serious matter when you create conflict or division in the body. We need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We need to pray and realize what a wonderful blessing it is that the brethren would dwell together in unity. It takes forgiveness, it takes loving one another, it takes a special grace from God for a church to be united in the truth. Turn to Philippians chapter 1 just a moment. Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul was thanking God about this church, and he was also exhorting them that they would also be of one mind and one accord. And that's the first thing I want you to remember now is I want you to pray. I believe it is God's will that we pray for peace in America. Second thing is I believe it's God's will that we pray for peace and unity and harmony among the brethren. In Philippians chapter 1, listen please to verse 27. The Word of God says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27 only, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. Listen, watch the wording here. That you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Do you know the only way the people of God can do what he's described here is if we're all following the Word of God. That's the only way we can be of one mind and one accord. I had the privilege to sit down with a young man yesterday that it was marvelous to see that though his thinking was different and though his understanding and though his knowledge was in one direction before we sat down, it was wonderful to see that once he looked at God's holy word and he saw what God's word had to say, it was wonderful that he gave up his previous beliefs for the truth that he saw in God's holy word. And brethren, it takes humility, and that's the only way. See, he and I were much apart. We were poles apart in our understanding. And then as we sat down together and we looked at God's word together, he began to rejoice in the truth about the kingdom of heaven, which he had never seen, and the truth about there being more than one heaven, and the truth about works are not what get us into the eternal heaven. He began to see how all of God's word harmonizes, and that brought us into harmony and unity. And we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that God will help us, that we might stand fast for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, in all of the studying about unity and praying for peace, it is very difficult sometimes to also look at what else God's Word has to say. Because if you'll back up in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10, you'll find that Jesus says that he did not come to bring peace on earth. I want you to understand that there are at least two different kinds of peace taught in the Word of God. There is a peace that is a lack of conflict, where people don't fight and people don't fuss. And we need to pray for that. As much as is possible, we need to live peaceably with all men. But I want you to know that the Church of Jesus Christ will never be at peace with the world. And the church of Jesus Christ has a continuous battle to fight. And in order to have the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, we cannot be at peace with the world. If you want to be friends with the whole world, then you become the enemy of God. If you want everybody in the world to all dwell together, and you don't want to offend anyone, then you can never preach and stand for the whole counsel of God's Word. In Matthew chapter 10, listen to what Jesus says. Now, I want you to know that Jesus was not contradicting what Paul said in Philippians 1:27. Jesus was not contradicting what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, 10 and 11. He was not contradicting what David said in Psalm 133 about, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. The Apostle Paul and Jesus Christ, it was pleasing to them to see the brethren united and of one mind and one accord. But they also knew that the brethren and the church and Jerusalem can never be at peace with the world. In Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 34, listen to what Jesus says now. Jesus says in Matthew 10, and by the way, who is the Prince of Peace? If anybody knows about peace, it's Jesus Christ. Is Jesus pleased when there is peace between me and my wife? Does that please Jesus when we're having in harmony and at peace? Is it pleasing to God when me and Brother Philip and all the brethren in the church, and by the way, I want the men, one of the burdens that's on my heart and the heart of some of the other men in the church is that all the men begin to work together and labor together and be men together. That we labor together as soldiers of Jesus Christ. And that we begin to work as men together in the church. And we need to be of one mind and one accord in order to do that. Jesus says, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. Now what kind of peace did He not come to send? He did not come to stop all conflicts between people. Jesus did not come to bring all people in this world to be one big happy family. He never came for that purpose. He says, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. As the people of God, we need to be one with Jesus. And if we are in harmony with Jesus and walking with Jesus, then we're going to be at harmony and at peace with all the other brethren that are walking with Jesus. But Jesus has enemies in this world, and the church of Jesus Christ has enemies in this world, and the world hates the truth of God's Word, and they hate Him who is truth, and that's Jesus Christ. The world hates Jesus Christ. And Jesus says you cannot be friends of the world. In fact, He says, I believe it's in the book of James, anybody that will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So, understand we're not talking about settling all differences between all people, but we are saying that the church and the brethren ought to be of one mind and one accord as we work and stand together for truth and righteousness in the earth. Now, there's another peace that we need, and that's an inward peace. We need peace in our souls. We need to feel great peace. And the only one who can give you that peace is Jesus Christ. Turn in your Bibles now to John chapter 14. Look at John chapter 14. And we need to pray for this peace. What I want you to see tonight is the depth of the statement, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I want you to see that that can be applied to many different things, but there is the peace of Jerusalem that is the same thing as the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. There is the peace of Jerusalem that's the same thing as the peace that's found in the New Jerusalem. And the New Jerusalem is defined in Romans 14:17 as righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Should you be praying for the peace of Jerusalem? Should you be praying for the peace of God? Should you be praying for the kingdom of God in your life and in the lives of your brethren? That's one thing we do now. Every time we come into the house of God, as we join together in prayer, we, among other things, we are praying and we are saying from our hearts, I hope, we're saying, Thy kingdom come. Do you know what you're saying when you say thy kingdom come? You're asking for God to bless you to feel the kingdom of God. You're saying that you want God to give you the peace of Jerusalem, the great peace, the inward peace. John chapter 14, listen please to verse 27. John chapter 14 and verse 27, Jesus says this. He says, peace I leave with you. Now, brethren, Jesus was leaving this world. He was the Prince of Peace, but He left peace with them. And that was the peace I wanted you to think about in closing tonight, is the most wonderful peace the people of God can ever have in this world, is the peace of God and the God of peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Is there a peace that the world can give? There is one leader in this community that has told me a number of times, he has said, Brother Mullis, if you'll just keep your beliefs in the church and not try to affect this community with your beliefs, you and I can be friends. Well, brethren, that's not what Jesus has called me to do.
That's right.
To keep the truth in the church. To keep the standard of righteousness. To just work on the church. Brethren, it's the responsibility of the church to be as a city that is set upon a hill whose light cannot be hid. The standard of righteousness that God has given us in His holy word, that used to be the standard that our nation held to. And it's when the church started being quiet and hiding the truth and stopping there and wanting to be friends of the world, they stopped having the peace of Jerusalem. Oh, we got peace with the world now. There's not much conflict between the church and the world today. Or many churches in the world today, because they've said, peace, we surrender. We hold up the flag. We won't say anything about y'all. We won't offend you in any way. Well, brethren, if you're not going to offend the world, you can't be the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus offended the world. Jesus was not trying to bring about total reconciliation among all people on this earth. So He says to His disciples, I leave you my peace. And then He says, in the last part of that verse, He says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, is He going to tell them they're still going to have a lot of battles to fight? Does He tell them that several times in the next few chapters? He keeps telling them, you're going to have battles to fight. You're going to have enemies. You're going to have those that hate you. He says, it hated me. Don't think it strange when the world hates you. The world will hate you. Look at John chapter 16. John 16 and verse 33. The last verse in John 16, the Word of God says, and this again is Jesus speaking. He says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Do you hear that beauty, the beauty of those words? In me, you can have peace. In Christ, you can have peace. There is peace in Christ that you can't find anywhere else. Did you know I don't have the power to give you that peace? Did you know your parents do not have the power to give you that peace? Do you know what the text says that we're looking at tonight? Pray. You pray. I need to pray. All of us need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Lord, I need to feel your peace. Peace that is only found in you. So Jesus says in John 16, 33, he says, These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. I'm thankful that Jesus didn't. Sometimes people say, just walk down the aisle, join the church, you won't have any more problems anymore. That's a lie from the devil. You take up your cross in water baptism, you've just put a crosshairs on your forehead. The devil is after you if you begin to follow Jesus Christ. You want to be a disciple of Jesus? The devil hates you. And the devil's going to attack you in every way that he can. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the world can try everything they can to take away your peace. But if you're following Jesus, you're going to have peace anyway, no matter what the world tries to do. So he says, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Do we need peace? Do we want peace? If you want peace, are there a lot of kinds of peace you need to want? Certainly there are. The Scripture says this in Psalm 119 and verse 165. The Scripture says, great peace have they which love thy law. That's true in the Old and the New Testament. If you love the Word of God, if you love what God tells you, if you love the Word of God, you're going to have great peace. Great peace. Go with me in closing to Isaiah, and we'll close in Isaiah chapter 48. Listen, please. In Isaiah chapter 48, verse 18. Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 18. God is speaking to his people who had rebelled against him. They had become friends with the world. They had become worldly minded. And when his people became worldly minded, they had peace with the world. But they lost the peace of God. Isaiah 48 verse 18, the word of God says, God speaking to his people Israel, he says, oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Brethren, if we will just follow the word of God, we will have peace like a river, and our righteousness will be as the sea. May God help us to pray. Pray in this coming year. 2012 can be the best year you have ever had. But in order for 2012 to be the best year you've ever had, you're going to have to follow the Word of God, follow the ways of God, and you're going to have to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May God help us to do that, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.